Most of you realize we've been studying looking at Daniel, the first four chapters. This is the fourth chapter. And whether or not we'll do the fifth or the sixth next week or whatever, just kind of follow along today as we look at the idea that God reigns. And perhaps the most destructive word in any language is the word pride. Pride damned Satan and his angels. And pride has damned men down through human history. And pride is destructive, you see, because in reality what it does is it breaks the very first commandment, that you're not to have any other gods above God himself. God is to be the first, and he's to be the only God. And you see what pride does? Pride says to man, "Man, you need to take the place of superiority over God." And so pride places self above God, which is the essence of pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride grows before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Well, as we begin to look at this fourth chapter today of Daniel, we see that it sets before us that the Most High reigns, the Most High God reigns, and he rules the universe, not man, and certainly not anybody else. And isn't it interesting, those of us who have been here and that have gone through the first three chapters of Daniel realize that God has been pursuing Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, in chapter 1, he noticed that these, Jewish young men were faithful to the dietary laws of their God, and yet they were still the healthiest, they were the brightest, they were the best in his court. In chapter 2, he acknowledged that it was Daniel's God who could interpret the dream. And then in chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that furnace, Nebuchadnezzar said these words, "There is no other God like their God who can save." Now, Nebuchadnezzar's been flirting with God, but he's not been willing to surrender. Which really is, as you look at this fourth chapter, it makes it kind of surprising. Because as we look at the first three verses, it says, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation." And you read that, and after looking at the first three chapters, you say to yourself, is that Nebuchadnezzar saying that? I mean, is that the king? You know, Nebuchadnezzar wanted his king. He wanted his kingdom to be that which endured from generation to generation. And so why is Nebuchadnezzar writing a chapter in the Bible? Well, you know, when God changes your life, the one thing that you should want to do, what Herb was talking about, the one thing you should want to do is tell as many other people about it as you possibly can. You see, God has been pursuing Nebuchadnezzar, but there's been this great obstacle in his life, and that obstacle is pride, and pride has been keeping him in bondage. You see, high on the list of things that Nebuchadnezzar needed to know most was that Nebuchadnezzar was not the Most High. You see, there are many titles for God in the Bible. And one of the best, I think, is that of the Most High. In fact, it's used, Most High is used 6 times in this chapter. And the demons, anytime they referred, the majority of the time they referred to God, they referred to God as the Most High. I mean, they would come to Jesus and they would say, "We know who you are. You're the Son of the Most High." And so as the reason the demons wouldn't give Jesus that title is because Satan wanted it for himself. So there's a prophecy in Isaiah that points at a man. It points at a king. But behind that is another being that this prophecy is aimed at. It's aimed at Satan himself. The prophecy describes the fall of Lucifer. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zalphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And so Satan was banished from heaven because he wanted to be the Most High. And his fall can be related to really the fall of every one of us. I mean, what was the lie in the garden? You can be like God. You can be like God. I mean, remember I said that the prophecy was aimed at a man? And here it is. Early in the chapter, it was aimed at the king of Babylon. I mean, who was the most famous, the most powerful, who reigned the longest of any king in all of Babylon. And you know who it is. It's King Nebuchadnezzar. And what Nebuchadnezzar needed again to know most of all, that he wasn't the Most High. And see, pride is so much deeper than just bragging or boasting. I mean, there are people who are proud and have pride, trouble with pride, who never say or say very little about themselves. Because you see, deeper than that is the idea that pride is living your life ignoring God, not thinking about God, just thinking that maybe he doesn't even matter. And you can go hours, or you can go minutes, or you can go even days and not think at all about God, just ignoring God. And Nebuchadnezzar is about to experience the severe mercy of God. And it all began in a dream that comes true. The fourth verse says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. I was lying in bed. The images and the visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He's called Belshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. Now, we all wonder, why did he wait to start? Why didn't he just go ahead and start with Daniel in the first place? I mean, isn't this where we've been before? And so he says to Daniel, look, Daniel, you've done it before. Maybe you can do it again. You got to understand, I had this weird dream. I don't think it was from something that I ate, but I think it's a message from God. He says, in my dream, I saw this tree that reached the sky. He said the tree was so large that it could be seen from anywhere in the world. And in fact, it was blessing the entire world. It fed the world. It shaded the creatures underneath from the sun. It covers the earth, and it feeds the earth. But then a voice from heaven comes and says, cut down the tree, until it's a stump. And then he says, then it changes from a thing to a person. And he says, the person says, let him be drenched with dew and have a mind of a beast and live with the animals until seven times passes, and he acknowledges that the Most High is sovereign. And Nebuchadnezzar says, Daniel, I don't have a clue what this dream means. And you can just imagine that Daniel turns a little shade of white. He gets a little pale. Because Daniel knows what it means. You see, Nebuchadnezzar is troubled because he doesn't know, and Daniel was troubled because he did know. And then in verse 19 he says, then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. Now this is kind of amazing because you see, Daniel's able to remain kind and respectful to a man he could have just as easily hated. I mean, Daniel did not hold contempt for the people that did not hold his values. And he cares about Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he cares about him. And he knows what is best for Nebuchadnezzar to hear is not necessarily best for Daniel to say. I mean, you've heard the expression, you the man? And that's what he's saying. Daniel's saying to Nebuchadnezzar, you're the tree, and you're about to get stumped. And you can imagine that every person that was there in that court of the king must have held their breath as Daniel begins to tell the king something that no one had ever told him before. And he says, you will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with dew, the dew of heaven, 7 times, which most people take that to be 7 years, will pass for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms of the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you what? Acknowledge that heaven rules. And again, listen as Daniel tells him something that no one's ever told him before. He says, therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that your prosperity will continue. In other words, what Daniel's saying to him is, King, this dream doesn't have to come true. It doesn't have to come true. But you've got to make some big changes, and you've got to repent of your sins. You see, folks, it's a terrible thing to tell people the truth and then not encourage them to follow through on it. See, Daniel doesn't just stick to revelation. I mean, he gets specific application. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, you think too much of yourself. And you don't think enough of the people upon whose backs that you have built your empire. You need to humble yourself before God, and you need to be kind to the people of your kingdom. And again, you can imagine everybody just standing there in dead silence, dumbfounded that he would say such things. Because you see, Nebuchadnezzar has the tendency to overreact. He has a flashpoint of a temper. And nobody would have been, taken by surprise if he'd have said, execute the man. And so what's happening? You see, that dream is the gracious call of God to Nebuchadnezzar to repent. I mean, keep in mind that it is unbelievably foolish to think that God's bluffing. For you see, God doesn't bluff, does he? I mean, he sees everything, and everything hinges on the soil that is in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. I mean, he gave some thought to it and just ignored it. It didn't take root. And so verses 29 through 30 says, 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? You see, God's plan A was to get Nebuchadnezzar to surrender to him through the preaching of Daniel. But God always has a plan B, doesn't he? I mean, just ask Jonah. Those of us who studied Jonah not that long ago. I mean, even as Nebuchadnezzar is boasting, even as he stands on that rooftop and he surveys the city and he says, look at this amazing, massive city, this impressive city I built. What an amazing man I am. And if you listened, you could begin to hear the starting of the chainsaw. Verse 31 says, even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all and reigns on the kingdoms and the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Now notice he says, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people, ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Just like that. He made that grandiose statement as he was standing there on the palace roof. And just like that, everything changed. And someone says, well, Nebuchadnezzar must have gone crazy. Well, understand something. Nebuchadnezzar was already crazy. You see, all God had to do was release the restraints or the constraints. And Nebuchadnezzar, as you see, Nebuchadnezzar was already spiritually insane. Folks, when you ignore God and you think that the world depends upon your wisdom, your strength, upon your wits, then you're crazy. And what God did is really merciful. Because what Nebuchadnezzar, again, needed to know was he was not the Most High. And isn't it interesting that the man who thought he was a god had to become a beast in order to become a man? And so after 3 chapters of flirting with God, we find here that Nebuchadnezzar finally just surrenders. Verse 34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. I mean, the moment he's able to think clearly, he praises God. I mean, again, isn't it amazing? The most powerful man in the world, the most famous man in the world, the man who was filled with the most pride in the world, sends out a letter to the world telling them about his humiliating experience, his life. And I think Nebuchadnezzar would say to us, the worst thing that ever happened to me is the best thing that ever happened to me. You see, one clue that you're making the right steps and winning over pride is that you can tell somebody else your story. And you don't have to embellish it. You don't have to cover over the difficult parts. You just give glory to the Most High. You give glory to God. And so he says, at that same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. You see, sometimes God has to chop down a tree in order to save it. And I think Nebuchadnezzar was saved. fact, I think he'll be in heaven with us someday. And you know, God hasn't changed, has he? I mean, God is still reaching out and pursuing the Nebuchadnezzars of this world. And the question is whether or not we'll become like Daniel and join God in reaching out for the Nebuchadnezzars of our generation. And folks, it takes words and it takes actions. And words, we know that the word tells us to what? Speak the truth in love. You see, the problem in Babylon is not so much that people are mean and wicked. It's that people are proud. And for those of you who haven't been here during the rest of the messages, you know, when we talk about Babylon, what we're talking about is this world, aren't we? The world in which we live, who don't acknowledge, who don't honor God. And we realize that it's difficult to live in this world. Now, a lot of the time, they don't go around boasting or bragging. But I'm saying that when you live a life that is godless, then you're prideful. And if you ignore God and his hand in your life, then folks, there's no other interpretation than that you're depending upon your wisdom, your strength, and your might. And you have become full of yourself. And you need someone like Daniel. You need a Daniel in your life to restore your sanity. When Muhammad Ali was the greatest boxer in the world, I mean, he certainly told everybody about it, and he had proved it. But he got on an airplane one day, and the flight attendant came by, and she said, please buckle your seatbelt. And Muhammad Ali said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she said, Superman don't need no plane. Buckle up. I mean, we need people that will speak the truth into our lives. So let me be honest with you. Most of you love the truth. I think all of you love the truth. I mean, that's why you're here this morning. But sometimes we love the truth more than we love the Babylonians, more than we love the people of this world. And so we don't necessarily speak the truth in love. I mean, we specialize in drive-by rants and confrontations. One fellow said, you know, I've yet to hear someone say that I was on social media the other day, and Christians were just blasting the world. And I fell on my knees, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, the reason we speak truth is not to prove that we're right, but to help people get right with God. And we must speak the truth in love, but our love is to be sacrificial and not superficial. We need to be sure that we tell the truth. You see, sometimes the most loving thing we can do is give somebody a stump speech. I mean, I think we all know the name Denzel Washington, don't we? I think he's one of the greatest actors. And it said that one day he was promoting a film, and in the interview they asked him, they said, what's it feel like to be such a famous movie star? And so when he began to tell the story, he told about going home. He said, I went home to my mother, and I said to her, Mother, did you ever think that this was going to happen? And she said, Son, you don't know how many people were praying for you when you were a knucklehead. Go wash my windows. And you know what is, it is beautiful. When a mama or a pastor or a brother or sister in Christ says to you, you're not the Most High. And Daniel gave a hard word to a man with a hard heart. And as we've studied, we've seen that heart had been hard for a long time before it bore fruit. But I'll say it again. You love people when you tell them the truth about the Most High. And one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible is found in Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. Folks, it's good that God is on his throne, isn't it? That's good news. I mean, we make terrible kings. I mean, anytime we try to take and run our own lives, folks, we just mess it up. We make it worse. And so it's beautiful when somebody has the courage to say to you or to me, God reigns. You see, words matter in Babylon, but so do actions. So even as you speak the truth in love, back it up by letting others know that you seek a kingdom that will not drive you crazy. I mean, see, here's the thing about Babylon. Babylon's a hard place to live in, isn't it? I mean, it's insanity is normal in the world in which we live. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we're living in a very difficult time. And so it's so easy to get seduced into the crazy. It's so easy just to give in or to acquiesce. And folks, there's a little bit of Nebuchadnezzar in all of us. So let me ask you a tough question. Where's your rooftop? Where's that place that you go where you can spend minutes and hours and days and not even think of God? I mean, if we're going to survive in Babylon, then we've got to intentionally guard against eccentricity. That's kind of a unique word, isn't it? It does not mean crazy. It means off-center. To be eccentric means revolving around something that is not centered. Now, we've been studying the book of Revelation on Wednesdays. And let me tell you something. When you study the book of Revelation, you find that God is on his throne, and that throne is in the center, isn't it? And it's because everything is centered on God that everything is balanced. And that's why you need to have that you're having conflicts in your life with other people. I mean, that's why you keep thinking that your net worth determines your self-worth. And that's why you're looking for someone who will just tell you that you're okay, that you're all right. I mean, it's crazy. Folks, it's crazy when we think we're the center. I mean, that's why Jesus' favorite sermon was to us to repent. Believe in the truth. The kingdom of heaven is here. And repent, understand, was not a rebuke. Repent was not a rebuke. It was an invitation. And you were never meant to be the center, were you? So get out of the crazy, step into reality. You don't want to be stumped. Give honor to the Most High. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was never more sane than when he began to build a kingdom that was bigger than his own. And folks, it's interesting. After all that King Nebuchadnezzar did, after all that he built, the only thing that's left is his testimony. His testimony. And if Nebuchadnezzar was standing right here, right now, he again would say, stop the insanity. Get out of the crazy and don't get stumped. So let that truth bore deeper into your hearts and then honor the Most High. But here's another important truth. Your heart can only have one ruler. It can only have one ruler. And so what we need to do is we need to get ourselves off the throne of our hearts. And we need to have Jesus Christ take his rightful place. And to think differently is to think crazy. And what we need most of all in this insane world is to get up every day and give glory to the Most High. That's what we need to do. That's what's going to change us. And that's what's going to change Babylon. What's going to change this world. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, or as we say every week, you know, we need, every one of us need to make a decision. Every one of us. And that decision has become like Daniel, isn't it? To become like Daniel and say, Lord, I'm just going to surrender myself to you. You do with me as you wish. Help me tell the good news. Help me show people how to get right with you, the Most High. So if you've got a decision to make, why don't you make it as we stand and as we sing.